Coming here this morning with the streets vacant, quality, dark, dank, I thought, boy, it's just not the way it's supposed to be on Resurrection Day, right? And I have to admit, I was like, you know, Delaware is like, this is, you know, depressing. It should not be that way.
Amen.
You have to really, I don't get a hold of yourself and say, thank you, Lord. You know, thank you, Lord, for this day. You know, it's maybe not the day in history, but it's the day we pick up and we celebrate as Resurrection. And it's a whole different day, not only in the United States, but everywhere around the world because of this virus. And not too many people are gathering like we are today. Rightly, wrongly, whatever, that's for other people to decide. But we are here and I'm thankful for it. And I just want to read you, you know, Marie was talking about the Seder meal and Passover. I don't know if people realize, when Jesus was the Last Supper, that was the Seder meal. Jesus was keeping the Seder meal. He was keeping Passover, the Feast of Passover, one of three holy days the Lord God told the Israelites to keep forever. Every year they had to keep it. One of those was the Day of Atonement. Atonement. I'm going to read you a definition of atonement. Make amends as for sin. To be reconciled to God after transgressing the covenant or committing sin against God. The reconciliation of God and man brought about by Jesus. That's atonement. Every year, Israel had to keep the Day of Atonement. They had to get the perfect lamb. They had many sacrifices, but that day was special. That period right there, Day of Atonement, the period of the Holy Convocation. And matter of fact, I'm going to read that few verses here out of Leviticus chapter 23, starting with 27. Also, the 10th day of this 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is a Day of Atonement, to make atonement or amends for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in soul, that is like feeling remorse for your sin during the past year for offending God, not afflicted in soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people. So it was a serious thing. It was one day of the year that the Lord set aside for people to make amends, to be make atonement before the Lord God for the sin, not only of the nation, but for your individual sin. But then along came Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Then along came Jesus. And he paid a horrible price for us. But his atonement lasts forever. Those of you who claim Jesus as Lord and Savior, he went to the cross to make atonement for our sin. Yesterday, today, and your sin tomorrow. Doesn't mean you can just live life freely, but your sins are forgiven in him because of his crucified body and his shed blood. But his atonement is forever and ever. We don't have to slay a perfect lamb every year. The perfect lamb, the Lamb of God, was slain on that day. But the greatest thing is 3 days later, he came out of that grave.
Hallelujah.
And in that in him we have resurrection also. Our sins are forgiven. We have life. Life in heaven, even though we may die on this earth, life continues for us in Jesus.
Amen.
We will be with the Father because of what Jesus did for us. So, atonement. He is our atonement. He is our salvation. Our Savior. Jesus is our King. So, keep that in mind. What a great salvation, what a great atonement is our Lord. And it's kind of mind-boggling to think God the Father put all this on him. He was made for sin for us. He took all that on the cross for us. And it's no wonder he cried out to his Father, "Why have you forsaken me?" Because he was all the sin of the world, disease was on him. A holy God could not look upon him. And had to be heartbreaking for the Lord Jesus to be separated from his Father for that time. But he did it for us. Keep that in mind. He did it for us. And I thank you. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for so great a love that you gave us Jesus. That Jesus did your will. Died a brutal death on the cross. His blood was shed to wash us clean, to purify us, to heal us, to give us power in the name of Jesus. Power in the blood of Jesus. How great a love you must have for us, Father, to give us Jesus, to have him, to lay that affliction upon him, the affliction, the punishment that we deserve. He did not deserve any of this, but he took upon himself for our sakes. So, Father God, this day we give glory and honor to you. We praise you, Father God, so great a love that you gave us Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. You are our King, our Lord, forever and ever. And in your holy name I pray and I thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good
morning. Happy Resurrection Day. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to Psalms 96. A song of praise to the God is coming judgment. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim the good news of the salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord the glory and strength.
Amen.
Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in beauty and of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth, saying among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is also firmly established, and it shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea soar, and all its fullness. Let the fields be joyful, and all that is in it. And then all the trees of the woods will be and will rejoice before the Lord. For he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Amen.
Yeah. How about you? But we should feel victorious. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Those are some powerful, powerful songs we sang. And you know what, you guys? They were like written when I was in my 20s. And so, you know, when it is of the Lord, it carries through. It goes on. It just never becomes void. And I really want you to hear that today. He has risen. And because he has risen, we have the victory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The Lord was placing this down upon me this morning. I'm not really for sure. Last night was the night that I slept real well. And the night before, it was like I didn't even remember going to bed. But last night I woke up, and this morning when I woke up, I said to Joe, wow, I feel so refreshed. I feel good this morning. But the very purpose of why we are here today is to worship the King. He is majestic, and he is worthy of our praise. And you know, this whole week of Easter, or you know, today is Resurrection Sunday. The kids know it is Easter. Reminds us that no matter what you and I face today, no matter what we faced earlier, Jesus will take us through it.
Amen.
If we keep our eyes on him, he will take us through it. You know what? We don't know the uncertainties of tomorrow, but Christ is risen and is our only hope. He's the only hope that we have. He's the hope of even this virus that is out there. You know, I've said for, I don't know, maybe the last three Sundays, and I know there's new people that are here today. Read Psalms 91. Pray it over your family. Claim that you have protection because of his great name, because of his blood. And we are covered by his wings. Now, I always love to tell this when I worked with kids, is really the Holy Spirit isn't some dove flying around. And a lot of kids think that. The Holy Spirit is a spirit that's hovering all over this sanctuary this morning, saying everything's going to be all right, covering us, protecting us. And one of the things that I showed during Passover was I had one of these tallits right here. And Chris Jr. had the tallit, and Karen had the tallit, and I had the tallit, and my husband had the tallit. And you know, I love talking about something that is really important. And that's these things right here. These are prayers. That when we put this tallit on, or we call it a covering, you see, when we're praying and we're all shut away with the Lord, you know, the devil can come up to us, and he doesn't know whether we're male, female, young like the kids. He has no idea, but we're so focused in on the Lord. And this right here, these are the wings. So when we talk about the wings, we're talking about this. So when we say that we are covered by his wings, we are covered by his love. We are covered constantly by him. If we are born again, and what's that mean is that we've accepted him as our personal Savior. And I have one goal for this year, and that's to see more souls come to the kingdom. And I love talking about that, because when he arose, there was a purpose in this. He arose. We have a choice. We can either believe on him and be with him someday. Now, I don't know about you, I lost my mom and my dad and a sister who was a younger sister than I am. She's a lot younger than I am. And she just went to sleep and she was gone. And we don't really think that we might go that way. We don't. And what I kept on hearing from the Lord as I was praying for this service, I said to the Lord, Lord, help me to explain to the people, be sold out to him. Give him your heart. So everything that we have been doing, that we've been podcasting and and doing Facebook, I always give time for people to accept him as their personal Savior. Because if you're a believer and you're born again, you're going to be with him someday. That's what it's all about. But you know what? There are some people that's not going to be with us. Because they never accepted him. And it's that simple. All we have to do is call upon his name, and I'm going to give you a chance to do that. But I wanted to explain this tallit to you, that those are the wings. And this right here is the prayer. This is the blessing. This is the blessing that I will bless you and I will keep you. It's powerful. And it says, for the Lord thy God bringeth into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valley, and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and figs and trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and of honey. Thou shalt lack nothing. When we come under his wings, we will lack nothing. Why? Because he's our provider. Yesterday when I went to shop and say, when I went in there, there still wasn't, the shelves were wiped out. And I thought, my gosh, I thought they were bringing more things in. You know, the water was gone. Every kind of water was gone. All the breads were gone. Eggs were gone. It was just unbelievable how many things were gone. And what the Lord said to me is to tell the people that I am their provision. I will take care of them when they give me all of them. Doesn't mean he's taking care of the enemy out there. Doesn't mean that he's taking care of the people who are not believers in him. It says this is a covenant promise that he will take care of us. Isn't that powerful? Powerful. I wanted to share that. I wanted to take a few minutes and talk about that because he died for you and me. The other thing that I wrote down here is that when the Holy Spirit breathes into you, that gives you life. It gives you new life. When you become born again, what happens is that you die of your old self and you become a new person. So I said, Lord, you're risen. Do you know how many places in the Bible that talks about he is risen? It says, and I want to give you this, it says in Mark 16, verse 5 through 7. Mark 16, 5 through 7. In Luke 24, 6 and 7. In Matthew 28, 6, it talks about he is risen. In Matthew 28, I like 1 through 9 myself. And then as I went through this, I realized the power of the resurrection. And I'm going to give you some examples of that this morning. So if you will bear with me, I'd like to read these scriptures to you. And the first one that I want to go to is Luke 24. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women went with them, and they came to the tomb to bring spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away. Now I don't know if you noticed this tomb up here, but the stone is rolled away. They went in. Now, I don't know about you, but if I knew my Lord was in there, and I come to bring spices, and I saw that door, I'd wonder, that kind of creeped me out. I mean, wouldn't the human side of us be a little scared about that? But it said that they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Verse 4. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed, like scared, shocked. They shouted this, behold, there were two men that stood by them in shining garments. Hey, those are angels, people. So when Jesus was placed in the tomb, there were two angels that were sent to guard the tomb. Now, when Joe and I used to do drama presentations, and our children did drama presentations, one of the things that we realized was that this stone right here, this is an example of it, it was heavy. It wasn't like you and I could stand here and just push it away. And I don't even know if you guys know about this, but there was some kind of, like almost like a trench. And the rock was in the trench. A trench. So you couldn't move it, and if you moved it a little bit, it was just coming right back. Now, no one ever taught me that until I got a little bit older. But that trench right there kept this in place. So when it was rolled away, it was really nothing for an angel, people. The angel rolled it away. The Holy Spirit went inside that tomb and did what he did with Jesus, and he arose. And that same Holy Spirit is in you. When you became born again, you had that same Holy Spirit inside of you. That means when Jesus came out of that tomb and he went up into heaven and he came back down, it's powerful. It's a powerful study. That's in you. So when someone lays hands on you and prays for you, they don't have no magical powers. That's witchcraft. But when the Holy Spirit is so much inside of you, he uses you as a vessel and it comes out. The Holy Spirit heals. The Holy Spirit is the one that might take you down. For some people, they might shake. There's different manifestations when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. There's nothing to be scared about. I've been in the Holy Spirit for over 3 hours sometimes. I wonder, ooh, where am I? So the closer you get to him and realize that that tomb is empty, and I'm reading it word for word, listen to what the angel said. So they were afraid, and they bowed their faces to the earth, and they said to him, why do you seek the living among the dead? Verse 6. He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee? He is the King of Kings. He is the Son of Man, must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And on the third day, 3 days, that's what I tell the kids, 3 days, that's all. He rose again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. I told you there were 12 disciples. But Judas was no longer there. Is that something? Judas. Jesus knew it was Judas who betrayed him. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to talk about that Garden of Gethsemane, because if you and I were in the back of this church, like outside by the bonfire, if there was no fire, if there was no light, and there was no light in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was pitch black. So, when Judas came to the Pharisees, they wanted to get rid of him. And they came with torches and swords and all kinds of things to come at Jesus, who was gentle, kind, would never hurt anybody. And what was amazing was that Judas betrayed him with a kiss. I have been betrayed more than I can even tell you from this pulpit. I have been hurt beyond words. I have had my heart just torn out of me for various things that I felt I was innocent about. And you know what? We all go through that. We feel betrayed. Even Jesus felt betrayed. Simon Peter denied him 3 times, and he told Peter that he was going to do that. And so by the Judas kiss, he was taken away. That's how they knew him. And Peter got so ticked off because he had such a temper. You know how mad I am? And he drew his sword and he cut his ear off of one of the soldiers. And Jesus said, "Oh my, you've hurt me so." And he picks up the soldier's ear and puts it back on. I don't know about you. Isn't that a miracle? Come on. But when they went to that tomb, they remembered the words. Now let me tell you something about Mary Magdalene. The Bible does not come out and say she was a prostitute. Doesn't use the word prostitute. It just said that she was with many men. And Mary Magdalene was delivered from demons. And when Jesus appeared to her and everybody was telling her where to fly and everybody was making all their nasty comments, and all of a sudden they had picked up rocks, because when you did something wrong, you were stoned. And Mary Magdalene was bowed down low, waiting for the stones to hit her. And Jesus reached down, wrote something in the sand, which I don't even know what that is. I've heard people preach about it, but the word doesn't tell us what he wrote. But he forgave her. And he said to, and no one ever wants to talk about it, but he said to the Pharisees, "Which of you have not been with her?" Most of the temple Pharisees had been with her. Isn't it amazing how women get said nasty things about them? People say awful things about them. But everyone who was there had partaken something with her that was not right. Come on. That's why when we ask Jesus to come into our heart and he forgives us and we repent for things that's not right. Do you know what the word says? You don't remember it no more. It's forgiven. But you know what? Mary Magdalene, for what Jesus had done to her, she served Jesus because of it. Because she knew how much Jesus loved her. She was one of the first at the tomb, Mary Magdalene. And you know what? Even when all this stuff was going on about Jesus, do you know that she was standing there trying to listen to exactly what was going on in that temple? Still fearing people saying, "Hey, I know you. Aren't you?" You see, people never let go of the sin that we gave to Jesus. But Jesus forgives and takes it away. That's powerful. Powerful. People will accuse you of all kinds of things. Mary Magdalene, first at the tomb, to see where they had taken him to. And the next one was Joanna. The next one was Mary, the mother of James. And the other women with them who told these things to the apostles, to the 11. And their words seemed to be like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Now, if you went and told your friends that, or let's make it real today, you got on Facebook, they'd say, is that for real? And their words seemed like idle tales. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb. So when they came, Peter went booking. He had to go see for himself. And stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Now, some people have called it all kinds of things. They found the pieces of the cloth, and they wrote a DNA on it, and was it really Jesus? And a lot of people go to where the tomb was at when they go to Israel. He's risen. Now behold, two of them were traveling at the same time to a village called Emmaus, which was just 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking together of all the things that was going on over there. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near them and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. My prayer for you this Easter morning, this Resurrection Day, is that you will know him for yourself. Many times when storms come my way, or I'm doing certain things, or I'm ticked off with certain people, or I got this real attitude, when I shut myself away with Jesus, and I go deeper into him, maybe he'll give me a song, maybe he'll let me read something in the Bible, maybe he'll take me to a book that I forgot that I had on my bookshelf. I don't know. And I just dwell with him. I just shut myself away with him. And to my amazement, he is always there. He always comes and talks. Yesterday, I had so many Facebooks that came in of different people who were so desperate for just one touch of the Master's hand. Do you know it's just one drop of him and we can be set free? One drop of him, just one word from him. Him calling you his beloved. I don't know about you, it makes me feel good. Makes me, give me hope. Makes me feel like I can make it another day. And this is Jesus' words. These two are going at it. These things are talking. And he says to them, what kind of conversation is this? What are you having with each other? As you walk, why are you so sad? What's your problem? That's what we'd say today. Then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger? Are you the only nitwit? Are you the only hidden rock? He doesn't know what's going on in Jerusalem. What's your problem? And have you not known the things that were going on and the things that were happening? And he said to them, now this is Jesus, and what things are you talking about? Stop. That's what the word says. What things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and now the chief priests and our rulers deliver him to be condemned to death, and he was crucified. Don't you know that? But we were hoping proclaiming that he was the one. You know what I mean? He was the one that was to set us free. He was the one who was supposed to come. He was the one who was supposed to be redeemed, was to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this today, it's the third day since all this went on. But Jesus didn't know this. Yes, and you know, certain women of our company, you know, certain women we hang around with, arrived at the tomb, and they were astonished. Verse 23, and when they did not find his body, they came saying that that they also seen a vision of angels too, you know, and that he was alive. Are you kidding me? What planet are they on? And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him, they did not even see him. So where was he? Then he said to them, oh, you foolish ones. Can you imagine Jesus saying that to you? Oh, you foolish people. And slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? All this is for the glory of the Lord. What I heard at Passover is that he was, yes, the risen, glorious King. And you know, even beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures, you know, the things that were concerning him. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us. Why don't you just hang with us? Come on. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with him, that he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished. He vanished. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while we talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen. Hallelujah. That's powerful. And it kind of puts it in kind of our terms, don't it? And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And whoever believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. John 11:23. So this is what I want you to hear this morning. Love came down. When Matt Maher wrote that, I thought that was the most powerful song that I ever heard in my life. So here was Mary Magdalene, and Mary was the first person to discover that Jesus had risen. How? We've seen her discovery described as I read it to you this morning. Jesus came through the walls, people. How could you not believe that he arose? Don't you really think that Mary was a basket case? When Jesus found her, we were a basket case when he found us. But Mary's life was lifted up by Jesus Christ. Just like our life should be lifted up because of Jesus Christ. And you know what I love the most? Is, do you know he calls you by name? Mary? Joseph? Jan? Chris? Michaela? He calls us by name. He knows every one of us. What I love is that she recognized him. If he was to walk into this room today, would we know who he was? Or are we so preoccupied that we miss that chance to say, She called him Rabboni. That means master. That means Lord. And you know what? That resurrection, it lifted Peter up. Peter, who loved the Lord, was a hot-tempered apostle. He could blow off the handle when he was ticked off. But once the Lord kind of settled him down, it was powerful for the Lord. Come on. He said, oh, go tell the disciples and Peter. You know why? Because Peter wouldn't have believed it. Because Peter denied him three times. He said, I'll wipe out every person that comes against you. He was scared for his own life. So would you be. Why didn't the angel just say, go tell his disciples and John? Because John was the baby disciple. Or why didn't he say it to James? Or why didn't he say it to Matthew? Why did he say it to Peter? Go tell the disciples he is risen. So they ran. They came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved and said to him, he is risen. And what did Peter do? Flew out of the room. Check it out for myself. And it was more than a need for exercise that brought Peter running, along with John, the baby, to the tomb in such a hurry because he was agonizing. He was hurting so bad because he denied knowing Jesus Christ. And Jesus put his arms around him and loved upon him just like he does for us. The third thing that the Holy Spirit showed me is that the resurrection lifted the disciples out of fear. They were scared people. If you were told that the police was coming to this church right now, what would you do? Well, I'm calling home. I'm going to jump in my car. Well, I'm going to go, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take care of that. But you know what? We should have been right up here at the altar on bended knee, crying out to the Lord, Lord, help us. When we're scared, we get on that social media stuff on Facebook, Snapchat, look at this, put the faces on, look at me. Oh, am I not beautiful? Self. That's self. Look at me. Look at, I have a pretty scarf on today. Self. And the Lord says to come and know him, you've got to die of self. You've got to be humble before the Lord. You can't worry about what Bobby Joel thinks about you, what this person thinks about you. Well, I am in such distress. Well, then get on your knees. Come to the cross. Yeah. Welcome to life. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just so scared. Me too. I've been scared. I had so much fear that I didn't know what I was going to do, and I couldn't even think or do anything this last time I had pneumonia. And I just said, Lord, I'm yours. Breathe life into me, Lord. I'm so scared. I don't know what to do, Lord. Can't move my legs. I can't move in this bed. I'm going through sweat. Hey, you know what, people? It sounds so good for this COVID virus that they're telling you that they're taking the big old Z-Pak and the malaria drug. Well, I'm telling you, if you know the sweats that these people are going through, you'd be on bended knee praying for them. There are more coming out of this COVID virus, but what they've come up with so far, yup, they're alive, but what their bodies have gone through is beyond what I can even put into words. The only answer is Jesus.
Amen.
The only answer is Jesus to give knowledge, revelation to the physicians, to the medical people, to the truck drivers, to the different people. Everybody's trying to do the best they can. But you know what the answer is? Prayer. Decreeing the blood of Jesus that was on that cross that came down. It's going to heal. He's the healer. He's the rescuer. And we're not to have fear. We're to have faith. I had a preaching lady that I had 102 Facebook prayer requests yesterday. And I just cried because I didn't think I could. I didn't know what to say to all those people. I really didn't. But the one thing that I said was this. Satan is a liar. And Jesus died for one reason, and that was for them. And he is that healer. So you see, death isn't the final answer. And it takes a toll on us. We're gone. We have loved ones. I mean, my sister, I loved her because you know what? She was funny and I'm not funny. I have a hard time laughing and being goofy and having joy because I think everything's serious. I really do. That's who I am. But my sister could walk in the room and crack a joke and everybody would be laughing. And I was so ticked off because she was robbed. We were robbed of her. But I know she's up there cracking jokes with Jesus, and I'm sure he's got a good sense of humor. Because he's got to look down on some of us and just laugh at the devil laugh. Jesus is good, and he's kind, and his mercy endures. So if I can say that to you, is don't live in fear. Let your trust in him be your answer. So Mary Magdalene, she was lifted out of despair. I was lifted out of despair. There was a basket case, but when she found Jesus, evil had to die down and be gone. When I found Jesus, I don't know what all this is that people don't know how much he loves us. Jesus casted 7 demons out of her, and her life was set free. Peter was lifted out of guilt when he entered the tomb, knowing he had denied Jesus 3 times and loved him greatly. And he said, do not be amazed. You're looking for Jesus who was crucified. But he's risen. He also lifted the disciples out of fear. I've had so much fear in my life that I've given to the Lord. And he has set me free, people.
Amen.
And I love this. He appeared in the upper room. And all this year, the Lord has spoke to me about the upper room. The upper room is where you come, this sanctuary. Could be your closet. It could be the bathroom. It could be wherever you spend time with the Lord. That upper room is between you and Jesus. Knowing how powerful his presence is. And how powerful his mercy is. And how you can worship him by music, by praying. And I love dancing for him. We should be so set free that you couldn't sit in those chairs this morning, that you should have wanted to be out of those chairs, just glorifying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The resurrection, him coming out of this tomb, freed all of us in this room today. He is risen, and he can do it for you if you're willing to lay down who you are. I believe this is coming, the harvest. They said that This is the time that we should be so sold out to him. I don't know about you, but I think he's coming. I'm not saying this is the end of the world and cast fear upon you, but I'm saying you better get your act together. You better know who you are. And all these little pity, goofy things that we seem to argue about, hey, people, put it under your feet because that's of Satan. It is not worth it.
Amen.
If you're not born again, this is a day to become born again. This is the time to give your heart to the Lord. Save-A-Lot has a new manager. Our grocery store here for the podcast people that are listening. But they always used to put an article out in the paper, which I see haven't seen in the last 3 years. And it said, the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he's not here. He is risen. You can come away from this service with anything. Know that he is risen. That he has restoration for you today. I sent every person that I could think of this podcast thing. It said Easter in 40 words. And this is my closing. Love he gave. Help he came. Compassion he reached. And his mercy saves us. Beauty furled, hope instilled, burdens lifted, grace revealed. We can't earn our salvation. Breach mended, joy began to dance, and peace was extended, and the curtain was torn from the top to the bottom, and the power soared. And freedom breathed that life is reborn. He forgave you. All you had to do was come to him and repent. Truth, it overcame. And glory arose. For the light reigns. Amen.